Our next reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, good evening. Let me add my welcome. My name is Graham. I'm one of the leaders at Grace Church. And we're going to reflect on that passage that's just been read to us. If you'd like to have a look at it, there's a little printout in your order of service, which you could have open if you'd like to. A lot of people time the start of Christmas by John Lewis adverts. They've become famous for their Christmas adverts, which are usually very sweet and endearing. This year, if you've seen it, you'll know it features a young boy, young teenager, making friends with an alien girl who's crash-landed on Earth. And it basically tracks how he introduces her to Christmas traditions, mince pies, Christmas jumpers, Christmas lights, and so on, and how she discovers these things for the first time. And it is indeed quite sweet. So it's interesting to ask what's behind an advert, what thinking went into it. I expect with everyone feeling rather COVID weary, the challenge for the advert makers was how to inspire some excitement about Christmas and some spending as a result. And apparently, I'm told, we're supposed to see someone in this advert discovering Christmas for the first time for themselves and being excited by it. And then we, of course, will enter into it afresh. The tagline is, "For a Christmas as magical as your first." It is quite sweet. But to be honest, I ended up thinking it was a bit sad. It kind of said all we've got to offer a COVID-weary world is to rediscover mince pies and Christmas jumpers. It didn't feel like there was a lot of hope there. What I'd like to do briefly this evening is show you that there is real hope to be found in Christmas, not in the rediscovering Christmas traditions or the ways of doing things, but discovering Christmas itself. And I've got two very simple things I want to point out from this passage that we've just read from Luke's Gospel. Now, first of all, there is real hope at Christmas because it is about real events. It's not just a fairy tale. See, the reading started, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. And we know the particular Caesar, the Roman ruler involved. He was called Octavian. He was known for his admin of the Roman Empire, including conducting surveys of the population like these. And Luke clarifies for us, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, there was apparently more than one census during that time. It was the first one, he says. And so everyone has to go to their hometown to register, and that is why Joseph and Mary end up going to Bethlehem. My point, in a sense, is very simple. This story doesn't begin at once upon a time. Now, we know that when a story starts like that, it's a fairy tale, and we expect, talking animals and evil godmothers and magic enchantments and so on. We know what that sort of story involves. And while we know it might be a sweet story, a fun story, we know it's not a story to take seriously. It's a fairy tale. But the reason I say this is because I think for many people, even at a subconscious level, the Christmas story is on a par with that. A story to read as a tradition and a sweet and a nice and perhaps a comforting, familiar thing, but not a story to take seriously. A Christmas stories website I came across had this exact reading from Luke's Gospel as a Christmas story alongside Christmas fables and fairy tales. Take your pick. They're all the same sort of thing. But Luke clearly locates this in history, in time and place. You know, most fairy tales, you don't know when or where they happened because it doesn't matter. But this does. This is different. And I know, of course, why people can easily put this in the fairy tale category, if you like. You look at your average nativity scene and you've got Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus and shepherds and some wise men, a donkey usually, a star outside, maybe angels, and so on. It gets told in a very stereotyped way, almost caricatured, just like fairy tales do. Let me take a couple of comments on that. I mean, first, we've got to separate out the sort of fact from the fiction, if you like. I mean, for example, a donkey's never mentioned in any of the Bible stories. But the wise men almost certainly came a long time later than the shepherds. They were never there together and so on. The nativity scenes are misleading. And lots of the elements actually make perfect sense. Luke tells us about this census to explain why Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem. It was Joseph's hometown. The town would have been packed with people. Finding somewhere to stay would have been hard. Many guest houses had a kind of annex to them. A kind of cross between a garage and a carport or something, where animals would have been stabled. And it would have been perfectly plausible to say, well, we've got some room there if you want it. And of course, there are supernatural elements, we'd call them, things like angels appearing and singing in this passage. For some of us, that might put it in the fairy tale category automatically. I'd say let's just start, shall we, by taking Luke at face value. He thinks he's writing history. Let's consider what he describes. Let's see if there might be good reasons for angels appearing. First point, there is real hope at Christmas because it's about real events. It's not a fairy tale. You've got to take it seriously. Secondly, there's real hope at Christmas because it's about real joy. It's not about empty sentimentality. Unfortunately, for many people, sentimentality and Christmas go hand in hand, which is why some people so despise Christmas things. Feelings of nostalgia, maybe a focus on family and traditions, open fires, good food, etc. Christmas films, it feels very warm and familiar. The adverts all play on that. It's a magical time of year. Things that make you go, oh, isn't it lovely? But the thing about sentimentality is it has no real substance to it. Very pleasant and nice things and enjoyable things. I like them. But that warm, fuzzy feeling, if you try and grip it, has no substance. And those feelings actually quickly evaporate over Christmas. You know, everything feels lovely, but the first sharp word, the first disappointment, family tension, illness, positive COVID test, whatever it might be, and the warmth will just ebb away. There's nothing really there. But the real Christmas story is about real joy. The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Good news, that's what I bring. News of events. Good news. News of good events. Things that are happening. Good news that will be the cause, the reason for great joy. Joy that can kind of hold its own and stand up with the traumas and the disappointments of life. C.S. Lewis, the author and thinker, wrote an account of his coming to believe in Jesus. And interestingly, he didn't call it finding the truth or discovering faith or something, although those things were involved. He called it surprised by joy, because that is what he said he had found in this good news. Joy that he said wasn't simply happiness or pleasure that was dependent on circumstances. Joy that was the filling of a deep inner longing and emptiness, filled with something solid and substantial. And the angel goes on to give the substance of it. This good news will cause great joy because today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus' birth is good news that brings great joy because of who he is and what he does. He is a Saviour, someone who rescues us. He is the Messiah or the Christ, which is the title for the one God had promised to send to fulfill all of his plans to bless his world. He is the Lord, God's King, who will rule on God's behalf. Now, all of those descriptions assume there's actually something wrong with the world, and we are people who need a Saviour, we need rescuing and so on, and that's exactly the picture the Bible paints. We've wrecked our relationship with God and with each other and with the world. But the good news is that God acts in Jesus to save and to restore and to heal. And that's why he says, good news that will bring great joy. That is why a crowd of angels then appear singing glory to God and peace to people. Because God is acting in Jesus, and such events demand singing angels. Now look, there's lots more to say about that. I don't know what you think about Christmas. I worry people think it's on a par with a fairy tale, and it's basically sentimental. And I want to try and persuade you, or at least point out to you, it's about real events, and it's about real joy. There is so much more to say or explain about that. Just on your way out, on the table on the right, there is both a copy of Luke's Gospel, where this is taken from, and there's also just a little leaflet saying a tiny bit more about Christmas. Those are free. Please take one of those if you'd like to read a little more. That John Lewis advert I began with hoped people might rediscover Christmas, the magic of your first Christmas, so that you jump into Christmas and you buy stuff from John Lewis. Please see that Luke is writing this so that we might discover the true magic of the first Christmas, and that we might buy into that, and in doing so, we might find real, true joy in Jesus. Let me finish with a prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, in your kindness and in your mercy, please show us the events of Christmas, the truth of Christmas, the person of Jesus, and in that might we find true joy in him, we pray. Amen.